Sometimes life throws you curveballs, and when it does, it's important to have an understanding of all the factors that are contributing. There is one curveball that many families face, which they're sorely unprepared. My next guest has personally experienced two challenging incidents in her life and has taken action to help others. She is Arlene Lakin, elder law and special needs attorney practicing in Pompano, Florida. Welcome to the show, Arlene.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you.
So in 1984, you yourself had, you know, a challenge that you dealt with, and it took you to your current place in life now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I gave birth in 1984 to my third child. My first two children were typical children. They were fine and there were no issues with them. But the third baby was extremely ill and had multiple surgeries as a newborn, as a neonate. And for 3 months, he was in intensive care. And then we brought him home and we thought he was just going to heal and be okay. But ultimately, it turned out that he was not okay cognitively as well as physically. And now he's 33 years old and he's living at the Ann Stork Center in Fort Lauderdale. So when he was about 3 years old, we placed him in a facility in Miami. And that was a very challenging and hard thing to do, but he was extremely difficult to manage medically. And I had two other children as well. So it was a decision we reached, my husband and I, and we just proceeded. And after that, I went to law school. He motivated me, actually. My son motivated me. The whole experience motivated me to want to do something different with my life. Prior to that, I've been a professor of foreign languages, and I decided to go a whole different way and become a bigger advocate. So I went to Nova Law and then finished it, took the bar exam, passed it, thank God. And then I became a practicing attorney. And a few years after that, maybe 3 years later, I got together with a few other families in similar situations and formed a nonprofit called Florida's Voice on Developmental Disabilities. It's a statewide organization, all volunteer. We take no government funding whatsoever. And we just finished our statewide conference in Boca Raton last week, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm very pleased with what we've been able to do helping families throughout Florida. And actually, if they live out of state and they have an issue, they can contact me as well. It doesn't matter where you're from, but we just try to help one another.
Wonderful. So, you know, no one's really prepared for this kind of life event. And what are some of the first things that you would recommend someone do if they find themselves in this situation?
Well, the first thing that most families do in my situation, we knew at birth that there was a problem. We had no prior knowledge. Everything was normal in terms of my pregnancy and all the prenatal tests came back normal. So surprise, things were very different. And in the beginning, it depends on when you discover the situation is what it is. The first thing parents need to know is what to do medically. And that's not my area of expertise, and everyone's case is different, but that's obviously the first thing is a medical piece.
Sure.
And once you get that sort of under control, then you need to think about when you get to the next level, it's kind of the more pragmatic things such as estate planning and what you're going to do. And sometimes you know right away that this is going to be a lifetime problem, and sometimes you don't know. Every family is different, and every disability is different, and the degree of the disability varies. So at some point in the down the road of life, the journey you may be on, you'll find out that it's time to start making some estate plans, and they may affect your child and what you're going to do regarding that particular child who's disabled.
Yeah.
Some people have see attorneys like me, and we do special needs trust planning, and that's where we go with that so that the child of any age does not inherit any money directly because either they can't handle the money or they are going on public benefits or are currently on public benefits, and we don't want them to inherit money inadvertently from their family.
But it's it gets a little more complicated than that as well, because after your passing, there has to be someone there that's a guardian, and that can be very complicated in some families. Some families don't want to take on the responsibility, or they can't agree on the person to take care of things. So you must handle these special needs trusts from the very simple to the very complex. So give us kind of an idea of what the more complex ones might look like.
Well, part of the problem is when you do a special needs trust, normally the parents are the trustees of it. If it's one of these that goes into effect immediately, most of the time the parents set these trusts to kick in upon their death.
Yeah.
And then we have a problem because most of the large banks that handle trust administration, they don't want to handle special needs trusts, and they usually are requiring a minimum of $1 million in that special needs trust before they'll even consider being a trustee of it. the families normally come to me when we talk about doing a special needs trust, and I start discussing, well, who are the successor trustees when you're deceased?
Yeah.
Or not able to function, and they start listing relatives. And I said, well, that's good and fine, but you've got a five-year-old child with Down syndrome. What if that child lives to be 85?
Mm-hmm.
How can we guarantee these people will outlive your child? And we can't. So I said, at least put down a trust company or a bank with a trust department as a default, because most families just simply want to keep a family member as the trustee. And I said, that's good and fine, but let's add somebody else. You brought up a good point, Steve, though. When an individual turns 18 in the state of Florida, they're considered an adult. And if your child needs a guardian, then you have to go into court, even though you're the parent. You're not the natural guardian any longer legally. You now have to go into court and become the legal guardian of your 18-year-old adult child, which I did when my child turned 18. And then you need to think about who succeeds you when you can no longer serve. That's a problem for a lot of families because they may not have other children or other children that are competent or that they want in charge, and they may not have even siblings. I have some people whose families are really small, and so we have to discuss who the successor guardians will be when they're appointed the guardian. We need to think about that. You have to really plan for worst case scenarios, and it's never too early to start planning.
You know, you were faced with a difficult decision to have to put your child in a separate institution, which is really kind of heartbreaking. You know, I can imagine going through that is very difficult to do. How does a person go about finding the right institution? I was involved with the Habilitation Center of Boca Raton for many years. And that was, really about special needs people. And, you know, we gave them opportunities for work and the like. But it was a very complicated process and families were still involved. And so I got to see some of the ramifications of all of this. So again, this problem with the bank, family does have $1 million, but let's say they have more than one special needs child and the minimum is $1 million. What are they going to do with their money?
That's going to be a problem. And there's no way around it. I've found a few places, some institutions that will handle smaller trusts, but they're not going to go too small. And they have a minimum fee. Certain banks will. If it's small, let's say it's $300,000. You may not think that's small, and the families normally think that's a lot of money, but to the banks, they feel that the exposure, the liability exposure is too great. And it's very challenging then. We just try to find somebody who will do it. Some of the pooled trust companies that handle what are called pooled trusts are now starting to do what we call third-party special needs trust administration, the third party being the parents when it's their money and they're setting up a trust for their child's benefit. And some of them will take smaller special needs trust for administration. But that's a whole new thing that's developing. And I'm not 100% certain that these companies will survive in time. It's not like a major bank, which cannot be guaranteed to survive, but more likely would, than some small trust company that just popped up recently, and now they're saying they're doing special needs trust administration. That kind of worries me a little bit. But you mentioned housing at the HAB Center. The HAB Center in West Boca, I'm familiar with it. I did a program there years ago. They're strictly like rehab. They do not have a residential component, to my knowledge. But the decision residentially is another important thing for families, because if their child stays with them, you know, some people's child can be as profound as my son and their parents still want them with them. Sometimes the child is very high functioning and they have a tremendous range. But at any point, at some point in the future, the parents have got to think about where their child is ultimately going to live when they're not around anymore. And that's very hard for people to do. A lot of my families that come in to do a guardianship, their child's turning 18 or maybe their child's 20 or 27 and now they're coming to do a guardianship. I broach the subject because I feel the need to counsel them on it, but some of them just don't want to do it. They're just not emotionally ready. And I try to encourage them and tell them, you know, if you place your child now, your child's 25, 27, you can at least see and be sure that the place is good and you like it and you've had an opportunity
to experience it.
To see everything that's going on, and if it's not good, you move your child. Otherwise, it's in an emergency circumstance, which is certainly not good for your child. Sometimes that works, and sometimes that doesn't.
Very complicated. Unfortunately, we really can't get to all of the facets today. We are out of time. My guest is Arlene Lakin, and Arlene, is there a website that people can go to find you?
Well, for me, it's very easy. It's just www.arlenelakin.com.
L-A-K-I-N.
Yep. Easy to find.
Yeah, very good. And
that's it.
Hey,
thank you so much.
Yeah,
pleasure.
Thank you very much for spending your time with us.
You're welcome. Take care.
To hear this interview again and to find out more about Arlene Lakin to find her links and the like, go to stevepomerantz.com. We'll have a transcript of this and a summary of it. And we'll also have the audio if you'd like to listen to that again. That's stevepomerantz.com.